dies.
That's true.
Don't they ever revive old radio programs?
The only one who listens to our program is Edgar Bergen.
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy bring you the Chase and Sanborn 101st Anniversary Show presents Fred Allen.
I can thank only one person for this job, Charlie McCarthy.
Starring Fred Allen and Fred's guest, Tallulah Bankhead, Jack Benny, Milton Berle, Shirley Booth as Donnie Mahoney, Major Bowes, Bing Crosby, Leo DeRosha, Maurice Evans, Portland Hoffa, Georgie Jessel, Bert Lahr, Oscar Levant, Beatrice Lilly, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, Peter Donald as Ajax Cassidy, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw.
And when I'm not blowing the claghorn, Senator that is,
my name is Kenny Delmont. And here with Fred Allen are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Well, Fred, we've enjoyed laughing at you so much over the radio.
And now it's a pleasure to laugh in your face.
Well, this summer, Edgar, I spent quite a lot of time with my genealogist.
Having trouble with your genie?
No.
It may interest you to know, Mr. Charles McCarthy, that you and I are cousins.
Mr. Allen, this is blackmail. No.
And I am just as much ashamed of it as you are.
Yeah, well, now, how do you explain that, Fred?
Well, as you know, Edgar, my name is Sullivan.
Yes.
And my genealogist traced the Sullivans back to their lineal origin in Ireland, you see?
If you're Irish, you must be shanty Irish.
Well, that's better than being a part of the shanty. And I learned that my great-great-grandfather, Seamus Sullivan III, had five children.
Oh, I see.
Michael, Patrick, Timothy, Shaughnessy, and Jaime. Michael, the eldest, while in Dublin, met Molly McCarthy. You see, Charles, the records prove that you were a Sullivan on your mother's side,
huh?
And a Shillelagh on your father's side.
Now, where do I come in now?
Well, your great-grandfather was named Pine McCarthy. His son was a cone. And as I am your closest living relative, I feel that it is my bounden duty to look after you, Cousin Charles.
Now, just a moment, Fred. You can't take Charlie away from me.
Now, we can't forget old Chase and McSander.
But after all, Edgar, blood is thicker than coffee.
So Fred and Charlie took off together for Allen's Alley.
The senator's home.
I'll knock and see what happens.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name. Senator Claghorn, that is.
I know you're from the South.
When I'm in New York, I'll never go to the Yankee Stadium.
Now, wait.
I won't even go to see the Giants unless the South Pole's pitching.
Well, look.
I refuse to watch the Dodgers unless Dixie Walker's playing.
Now, wait a minute.
Stop interrupting. Where's your manners?
Manners? I have no...
Try listening. You might learn something.
Listen, all I'll ever learn...
Your tongue's wagging like a blind dog's tail in a meat market.
You're winded, hey?
Just sucking in some air, son.
Well, leave a little. I'm breathing, too, you know. Tell me, Senator, what is Washington doing about coal prevention?
The Senate reconvened just in time.
Yeah?
I was glad to see Senator Aiken back. Aiken back, that's a joke, son.
I know it's a joke.
That was a scrawny third
split.
Listen,
you don't know what it is.
I keep crossing them and you just sidestep them.
Well, look at
them.
Now, wait.
Say, you're a regular sand sack. Sack, that is.
Now, you wait. Tell me, cool off now just a second. Do you have a favorite cure for a cold?
I caught a cold last week.
Yeah?
Like to ruin my filibuster.
Ruin your filibuster? What did you do?
I took an old southern remedy, son. I drank down 2 buckets of hot mint julep.
You drank 2 buckets of hot mint juleps and you still held the floor?
Held the floor? Son, I couldn't get up off it.
Well, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing this evening.
Howdy, bub.
Say, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired.
I know. I was up all night. Couldn't get a wink.
You didn't sleep a wink?
No, no, it wasn't that. Somebody stole my tiddly.
Well, Mr. Moody, tell me, has this cold epidemic hit your farm?
My wife had a nasty cold.
Did you call the doctor?
Yeah. Gall down, quack, give her sulfur and molasses. Put in too much sulfur.
Well, how can you tell he gave her too much sulfur?
When my wife sits in the dark, she glows.
Well, are you doing anything about it?
Why, Senator Claghorn, a foreigner next door... Send me over a bucket of hot mint julep.
For your wife?
No, no, for me. Tonight I'm getting lit up to keep her company. Come on, Doc.
Look, you know, Titus is going to get lit up on his weekend. Well, let's see what a knock here will start.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Tula-lula-lula Bankhead.
Tell me, Mrs. N., have you had any colds in your house?
My husband, Pierre, is sick.
Oh, really?
They are maybe sending him to a clinic. The Meyer brothers.
Oh, the Meyer brothers. Well, didn't Pierre try any cold remedies?
Every day it's a new remedy. First, he is bringing home fruit to drinking fruit juices.
What kind?
Oranges, grapefruits, tambourine.
Well, how long did he drink the fruit juices?
One day. Then Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the fruit.
Oh, he had another remedy?
Vitamins from vegetables.
Oh, good.
He's bringing home carrots, sprinkler beans, and rutabagos. Well,
how long did he try vitamins?
One day.
One day again.
Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the vegetables.
He had yet another remedy?
Absolute rest. You're staying in bed.
Uh-huh.
I am bringing meals. I'm bringing pills. I'm bringing hot water bottles.
Well, how long did this last?
One day.
And then?
I am opening up the window and throwing out Pierre.
Well, here we are at the last Jack in Allen's Alley. Let's see what happens here.
Roses are red, jonquils are yellow, Falstaff is here, and the stuff is mellow.
Falstaff, you have been sweating out new cantos.
Oh, indubitably.
Tonight, we are simply discussing the common cold and its prevention.
Precisely why I am here.
Yes?
I have rolled a rondo. Attention, you men of science. Oh, I know you've harnessed the atom. Jet propulsion you mastered last June. Radar you've reduced to a plaything. And now you're in touch with the moon. But one small microbe defies you, and science is 10,000 years old. You haven't subdued coryza, the germ of the common cold. So attention, you men of science. Until this germ you confront right, half of this country will be sneezing, and the other half saying Gesundheit.
Fred Allen made fun of everything.
Yeah, you should have heard what he said about you, Bergen.
His satire of an early morning husband and wife radio show is immortal. Complete with Canary and Tallulah Bankhead.
Good morning, Freddie, darling.
Good morning, Tallulah Angel.
Sweetheart, I must say you look refreshingly well rested this morning.
Yes, thanks to our wonderful Pasternak factory-tested Pussy Willow mattress. The mattress that takes all of the guesswork out of sleeping. So soft. Only the hearts of the tender pussy willows are used. Well, breakfast ready, Angel Face?
Yes, sweetem. Here's your coffee.
Well, thank you, doll.
Oh, peach fuzz. You've spilled some on your vest.
Good. Now I can try some of that little panther spot removal. No harsh rubbing. Just spray some little panther on your vest and watch it eat the spot right out.
And imagine, darling...
Stop! Don't you dare move to Lou.
Darling...
What? What have you done to your hair? That sheen, that brilliance.
Well, I guess it's what so many society women are doing these days. I went to Madame Yvonne's hair to heaven. It's on Madison Avenue. You go to the back of the orange juice stand. Rap three times and ask for Antoine.
Well, it is divine. Your head looks like the back of a bunny. Really.
Well, you know, darling, that Madame Yvonne uses a sensational hairdressing.
Yes?
It contains that new mystery ingredient, chicken fat.
Oh, our canary.
Oh, Yasha, so happy, so carefree, and why shouldn't he be happy?
Yes, he knows that the newspaper on the bottom of his cage is New York's leading daily.
Oh.
I just love the way your tooth is shining this morning.
Yes, Mummy. I brushed it with Dr. Pratt's homogenized toothpaste.
So sweet.
I love you, Mummy, and dear, I love you too, darling.
That's Ilyasha telling us our time is up.
We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6, folks. Until then, this is Freddie.
And Tallulah.
Saying goodbye. Wasn't that simple, Tallulah, with a radio program like this?
But it's ridiculous, Fred. Nobody can possibly be that cheerful every morning.
Well, that's true. If one of those happy couples woke up grouchy one morning, the listener would probably hear something like this.
Hey, knucklehead, get out of that bed. You got a program to do.
Will you quit yapping? 6 o'clock in the morning. Who's up to listen to us? A couple of burglars and Arthur Godfrey, maybe. My mouth tastes like a sand hog. Just pull this foot out of it. Dad, I'm sleeping.
Well, why don't you stay home some night and start sleeping?
Sleeping on that Pasternak Pussy Willow mattress? Pussy Willow. It's stuffed with cat hair. Every time I lie down on that cat hair, my back arches.
Oh, stop beefing. Here's your coffee.
Well, it's about time. I spilled some on my nightshirt.
Oh, you're such a slob. I'll get that bottle. That little bottle of panther spot remover.
You're not putting any of that atom juice on me. The last time it ate away my nightshirt and I still had the spot left. Where do you find these sponsors? In the police lineup? Your hair. Looks as though you just took your head out of a mix master.
I know that hag, Madame Yvonne, with her chicken fat. My hair keeps sliding off my head.
That bird again. Shut up, you molting pest.
Now, look here, Clancy.
Oh, shut up. And Yasha, you shut up, too.
Good morning, Mommy and Daddy.
That'll teach you sneaking up on your parents with that one tooth like an old elk.
The kid help it if she looks like you.
I want my breakfast.
Go gum a donut.
Back down, son.
And I've had enough of this grind with you and that kid and the canary yapping around. I've got a gun here.
You're right, the kid, Yasha.
Yes, and you're next.
Ah, Daddy, you killed Mommy.
Now it's your turn.
Charlie, have you met Chase and Fanborn's star sales lady, Caroline O'Connor?
Have we met? Kenny, what Charlie means is that we've worked together before.
Why, Caroline, baby, I never considered it work selling Chase and Sanborn with you.
Oh, thank you, Charlie.
Now, when I was working with Bergen, way back when you were a little girl, I tell
you... Oh, but Charlie, it's all different today.
Oh, sure, Charlie. Now there's a great new instant Chase and Sanborn coffee.
Caroline, do we need this part-time southerner?
Now, Charlie, everybody's excited about our new heftier instant coffee.
It's made from a new heftier blend of the world's finest coffee beans.
Is there an echo in here?
That means new instant Chase and Sanborn has extra flavor, extra aroma...
And extra satisfaction.
You know, come to think of it, working with Bergen wasn't so bad.
Fred Allen was a great fan of Bing Crosby's. When Bing's first book came out, Fred went to see him on business.
This must be the Crosby suite. I just saw a horse go in the other door. Say, I wonder... Well, I'll knock.
Look, Bud, if you're a song plugger or something, I do all my business through Nick Kenny, the writer of Moon Over Mother's Day. If it's about baseball, the Pirates have a bat, boy. So just
look.
They're trying to get Dorothy Lamour's telephone number. It'll cost you $15. That's what Hope charged me.
Well, Bing, you remember me? I'm Fred Allen.
Oh, Fred.
Yes. Capital A.
I didn't recognize you, yes. Fred. You look wonderful.
I do?
The last time I saw you, you looked like a medical student's homework.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm here, Bing. I just finished reading that new book about your life. Bing, you and I can take this book and make a picture of it. It'll gross $4 million.
Oh, no, Fred. I'm too busy.
Too busy to make $4 million?
Well, Fred, you can't take it with you, you know.
Well, I know. But when Gabriel blows his horn, Bing, you can come back and look around for it.
Fred admired great actors like Maurice Evans. Oh, how I longed for a voice like his.
And how lucky you are you got a voice like mine.
Well, as soon as Maurice Evans got out of the army, Fred called on him.
Well, Maurice, now that you're out of the army, I guess you'll stay in the Shakespeare racket, huh?
Racket? Why, Shakespeare's writing was immortal. He'd be as great a writer today as he was 300 years ago.
Why, he couldn't even write for radio, Maurice. Now, you be W. Shakespeare, and I'll show you what might happen if Shakespeare tried to get a job in radio today. The scene? A busy advertising agency.
Hello, Bat and Foot, Rootroff, and Rubicam Advertising. Okay. Hey, you. You waiting to see somebody?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
What's your name?
William Shakespeare.
Address?
Stratford-on-the-Bronx. I'm a writer.
Go right in.
Thank you.
Ah, come right in. I am a busy man. Have a chair.
Thank you, sir.
Now, what was on your mind, Mr. I didn't get your name.
Shakespeare. William Shakespeare. I write plays.
Well, I'll tell you, Shakespeare, I do need a serial program. It's for a new product, a soap powder called Doesn't. Doesn't is a new idea in soap powders. All the other soap powders do things. Doesn't do a thing. Now, I need a good radio show to put this soap powder over.
Well, I have a play called Hamlet.
Hamlet? Sounds like a spam derivative. What is the play about?
The first scene is in the King's Castle in Denmark.
No. Denmark is out. For a radio serial, it has to be a small town in the Middle West. Let's say Centerville. The family is living in a Quonset hut. Now, who is in the family?
Claudius, Hamlet, Polonius, Horatio, Gertrude, and Ophelia.
Well, Ophelia isn't bad, but those other names are out, Shakespeare. Claudius we'll call Papa Maya. Hamlet will be Sam. Polonius will be Lorenzo Fink.
There's also a ghost in the story.
A ghost? Great. The ghost can do the commercials. I wash my sheet in dozens. Well, pick up the ball, Shakespeare. What happens in the story?
Well, Hamlet's father is killed by his uncle, who marries Hamlet's mother.
Murder is out. Serial programs cannot have murder.
Well, Ophelia goes insane. The king is poisoned.
Well, the Hamlet story is too gruesome for radio. Throw this whole thing out. Get a new story. Know what I mean?
Yes, sir. The town is Centerville.
Good.
Papa Mayer runs the local grocery store.
Great.
Ophelia is in love with Sam.
Fine.
Lorenzo Fink tries to make trouble. Instead of Hamlet, I'll call my serial Ophelia Faces Life.
You've got yourself a deal, Shakespeare. What do you say? Oh. Shakespeare, put down that gun.
Ah!
Shakespeare, say something.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Dad, what an idea. To be or not to be, the serial is out. I'll make the whole thing a quiz program. To be or not to be.
Fred often went to meet Georgie Jessel at Lindy's famous restaurant.
Well, Fred, sit down. I was just going to order dinner. You can watch me.
Oh. But, Georgie...
Hey, waiter.
Yes, sir.
Waiter, I'd like a nice knish.
Knish. What is a knish?
Georgie, a waiter in Lindy's, and he doesn't know what a knish is?
Well, he's new here, you see.
Well, perhaps you would better tell him what a knish is.
Well, I will. Now, look, waiter, a knish is a little thing. It looks like a half a ladyfinger, and it weighs 200 pounds. Oh, trouble, trouble, trouble. I should have eaten on the train.
Oh, you were on the train?
Well, of course. I just got back from Washington. Ooh. I had an appointment with the president.
The president?
Uh-huh.
Georgie, not the cabinet.
Who knows? My Marshal may be leaving. Anything can happen, Fred, you know.
But, Georgie...
I can see the headlines now. UN endorses the Jessel plan.
The Jessel plan?
It'll be bigger than the Jolson story.
Fred once tried to get the great baseball player, Leo Durocher, to sing opera.
Then how come he never played on the Mets?
I am the captain of the Dodger team.
And a right good captain he.
I am quiet and subdued, and they say a little crude, but I frighten rather easily.
He is quiet and subdued, and they say a little crude, but he frightens rather easily.
Bad language and abuse I never, never use. No one do I intentionally hurt, though heavens I may occasionally say, I never call an umpire jerk.
What never?
No, never.
What never?
Well, hardly ever.
He's never called an umpire jerk. So give a cheer and give a shout for just under Captain with a big loud.
Great, Leo. If Rudy Valley is listening in, he'll never know another good night's sleep. What happens next, Fred? Well, now, Leo, comes your big love scene. The game starts, and as you're standing in front of the dugout, something hits you on the ear. Someone has thrown a rose.
At Ebbets Field?
Well, this is a fantasy, Leo. You look up, and there she stands, the beautiful mystery girl. She speaks.
It was me that trimmed the rose, Leo.
Mystery girl, who are you?
I'm sweet little Bobby Socks. Dear little Bobby Socks. But I'm not getting younger, you see. Too long I have tarried. But since Frankie's married, it's lifting the rosha for me.
Leo, now it's the big climax, Leo. Get this picture. It's the last half of the ninth inning. Two men out. The crowd is going crazy. You step up to the plate. I'm the umpire behind the plate. We hear Red Barber over the loudspeaker saying,
Leo is the doctor's only hope.
Flatter than your singing voice.
Yeah, you fat as mustache.
Ah, you... your sister's sideburn.
Ah, your grandmother's goatee.
Ah, your Aunt Van Dyke. I said you're out. The game is over. The Dodgers lose.
Oh, yeah? I'll beat your brains out. Give me that bat.
Halt! Cease!
Little Bobby Sock. You.
Put down the bat, Lippy.
But it's only Cockeye Allen, the umpire.
My old man.
What's the meaning of this, Bobby Socks?
Leo wants to marry me, Cockeye, don't you, Leo?
Me marry an umpire's daughter? They'll throw me out of who's who. With those glasses, how did you ever become an umpire?
I'll tell you the whole sad story, Leo.
When I was a lad, I could not see a hand held up in front of me. In spite of how I squint and peer, I couldn't tell my father from my mother dear. My eyes were oh so very, very weak, but now I am an umpire in the National League.
His eyes were oh so very, very weak. That's why he is an umpire in the National League.
And then there's a happy ending, Leo. I give you permission to marry my daughter, Bobby Socks, and the entire ensemble joins in the big finale.
My lip I will button up when you say batter up, even though games you will rob. I'll be ever discreet, so tender, so sweet, and soon I'll be out of a job.
So give 3 cheers and 1 cheer more for...
Number one, Alan Jolly.
Somebody, I say, somebody's banging my barricade. Claghorn, name Senator Claghorn, that is, and I haven't time to talk to you now. I'm having my coffee.
Oh, you enjoy coffee, Senator?
Offer it to me, ma'am, and I can't say no.
You can't say no because it's Chase and Sanborn coffee?
Can't say no because N-O is the abbreviation for North.
Oh, Senator, our new heftier Chase and Sanborn, instant and roasted, is being discovered east, west, north, and south.
Never heard of them other three places, but if it's in the south, I'm for it.
That's wonderful, Senator, because our new heftier instant Chase and Sanborn is made in New Orleans.
Ma'am, you don't have to tell that to a Louisiana Lollapalooza.
Then you know our coffee is a new heftier blend of the world's richest coffee beans. Heftier for extra flavor and aroma. That goes for Chase and Sanborn instant and roasted.
Ma'am, I'll have you know Senator Claghorn's up on his two hind legs in the Senate every day, pushing the entire line.
Chase and Sanborn.
No, Mason and Dixon. Pay attention, gal.
The Chase and Sanborn 101st Anniversary Show presents Fred Allen will continue after a brief pause for station identification.